Again, I want to thank everybody for being here, and we're so blessed to have good health in this congregation. But we do have Sister Fran. We have to keep her in our prayers and hope that someday she'll be back with us. She took a terrible fall about 3 weeks ago. And as I usually say and try to say most every time, don't take my word. Don't take any man's word. Only the word of God. That's all you take. The word of God. And brethren, I know that we all want the church here at Prairie Village to grow. But a congregation grows in direct opposition, direct proportions to the amount of work that is being done by the faithful Christians who make up the congregation. This is why I believe a discussion of certain attributes that characterize a successful personal worker has got to be helpful. As we prepare to go into the new year of 2022, we need to be reminded of the characteristics of a successful personal worker. In order for any of us to be successful in teaching others the gospel, we have got to have a clear knowledge ourselves of Jesus as our Savior. We have got to be individually, completely converted. The unconverted church members, and there are many of them, can realistically expect very little success in leading others to Jesus. First of all, because the unconverted church member is not going to work to that end, and secondly, because no one can interest others in serving a Savior that they have never really committed to serving themselves. We cannot lead someone to a place where we have never been. And I think of the way that our brother Danny handled the woman last Sunday who came to the door wanting money. Danny explained to her that the church doesn't give money to except its own members, and that's by Bible authority. Danny didn't scold her for asking for money. However, he invited her in to hear the lesson being taught. That's a real Christian attitude. That shows we convert people. And that's how we convert people. Who knows? She might be back someday to hear the true gospel. We never know. Remember, we just plant the seed. God gives the increase. Being truly converted means an absolute surrender to Jesus as Lord. When we recognize Jesus as Lord, we recognize Him as the one with total and complete authority whom we gratefully serve. If you would open your Bibles now to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Paul put it this way in Romans 6, verse 17 through 22. But God be thanked that you were servants of sin, but ye have observed, or have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you. Being then made free from sin, you became servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh, for as ye have yielded your members servants to the uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness unto forgiveness, unto holiness. For when you were the servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had you then in those things whereof you are now ashamed? For those, at the end of those things is death. But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness and everlasting life. To be truly converted means that we know that we have had victory over sin through our risen Lord Jesus, and we don't have to live therein any longer. Staying in Romans 6, Paul put it this way in verse 3 through 11. Romans 6, 3 through 11, Paul says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized unto his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with sin, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, and that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. To be truly converted, brethren, means that I know that I've had forgiveness of my sins through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I know that when I have fought the good fight and finished the course, there will be a crown of righteousness awaiting me. Now look with me at Romans, the 12th chapter. Let's put these three things together. Absolute surrender to Jesus as Lord, knowledge of victory over sin, and knowledge of my forgiveness. And what will happen will be what Paul talked about in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We have got to be converted, brethren, truly converted, before we can lead others to Christ. Now, another characteristic that you find in those who are successful personal workers is a confirmed conviction that every person who has not accepted and obeyed Jesus is lost. In Luke chapter 19, verses 9 and 10, let's look and see what was said here. Jesus is speaking here. Luke 19, verse 9 and 10. Now Jesus made this statement to Zacchaeus. Verse 9. This day is salvation come to this house, for as much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost. That's why our Lord Jesus came to this earth, to seek and save those which is lost. Our Lord's awareness of the lost condition of mankind is what brought him here in the first place. And that awareness drove him relentlessly onward. We read of times when Jesus was so busy that he did not even eat. Mark 3:20 tells us about that. That's one example. And we read of this exchange between Jesus and his apostles in John chapter 4, verses 31 through 34. And I think we need to read that, if you would. John chapter 4, beginning in verse 31. The Bible says, verse 31, in the meanwhile, his disciples prayed him, saying, Master, eat. But he said unto them, I have meat to eat that ye know not of. Therefore, said the disciples one to another, hath any man brought him aught to eat? Jesus said unto them, my meat is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. This conviction gives an urgency to our personal work, brethren. If we believe that those who die lost are going to hell, then we'll get busy. We'll get busy. If we don't, we won't. Turn over to Acts the 20th chapter, if you would. Acts the 20th chapter. Acts chapter 20. I want us to look at what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 26 through 31. Paul said in his address to the Ephesian elders, as he reminded them that he had admonished all he could and to all who would hear him night and day, he says. Verse 26. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. I love that passage. I have not shunned to declare to you all the counsel of God. Take therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Then he goes on and he says, therefore watch, watch, brother, watch and remember by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. If we are to be successful, personal workers, we have got to believe this. Believing, then we will be tireless in our efforts to quite literally snatch those that we come in contact with from the flames of hell. Jude wrote in Jude 23, he said, and others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Pulling them out of the fire. And in order to be a successful worker, we have to have a working practical knowledge of the Bible. The New Testament was given by God for three different reasons. First, to produce faith in Jesus Christ. Second, to convict man of his sin. And third, to convey the terms of salvation. We have to be able to impart that knowledge to others, brethren. We have to be able to. But we don't have to know all of what the Bible says to be successful personal workers, but we do have to know our Bibles well enough to use them to produce faith, conviction, and conversion. Far too often, the zealous don't have the knowledge and the well-informed say they don't have the time. Well, I tell you what both of them need to do. Both of them need to get busy. To hunger and thirst is to work, to know. Look with me, if you will, what the Hebrew writer wrote in Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12. For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, even those who by reasons of use have their senses to discern both good and evil. Brethren, something else that definitely characterizes a successful personal worker is self-denial. Self-denial. Let's read what Mark wrote about that in Mark chapter 1 and verse 17. Self-denial. Jesus said, he's speaking here in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 17. Come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. Then he goes on in Mark 8 and verse 34. Turn over quickly, if you would. Mark 8 and verse 34. He said, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Deny yourself and follow him. We're to be fishers of men. And a vital step in our doing that is to deny ourselves. If we're to be effective, useful, person and personal work, or for that matter, any work for the Lord, we must first put away personal interest. Then we must put away concern for our own comfort and ease, and pride has got to be put on the shelf along with all those other personal feelings. When you think about it, I guess you could say that the greatest enemy of personal work is selfishness. Selfishness. a me first kind of attitude. Personal work is a submission to Christ for the welfare of others. Other than sickness, can you think of any reason for not doing personal work that would not fit into the category of me first? I can't. Brethren, when talking about characteristics of a successful personal worker, let us not forget prayer. The personal worker must pray for wisdom. You remember James 1 and verse 5, and I love this passage. Let's read this together. James chapter 1 and verse 5. Listen to what he tells Christians. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. We need to pray. We need to pray, brethren, for wisdom, for Bible wisdom, for Bible knowledge. We need to pray that we have a good memory of it and be prepared that we have a quick recall of it. We need to pray for those things. And we're going to need wisdom in every effort to lead others to Jesus, brethren. No matter how well we know the Word, no matter how experienced we may be, we need the wisdom that is from above if we are to be successful. Paul wrote in Romans 10:1, he says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He prayed for the whole country. They were losing it. They were leaving God. We need to pray for those that we do get the opportunity to teach. We need to pray for them that they'll continue to be with us and listen to us. We need to pray that they'll listen and pray that their hearts will be receptive to the Word. We need to pray that the door of opportunity with them will remain open and they will obey. That's what we need to pray for. Of course, our prayers must be earnest, real, and persistent. That leads us then to one more characteristic of a successful personal worker, that is perseverance. The Bible tells us in Galatians 6 and verse 9, and I want to turn there. I think we need to read this. Galatians 6 and verse 9. Galatians 6 and verse 9 is a verse that needs to be burned indelibly on the hearts of all Christians. So let's take time to read that now. Paul said in chapter 6 and verse 9, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." If we faint not. If we don't give up, never give up, never, never give up. Being a personal worker requires great patience and perseverance. Let me tell you, you have to get used to the word no when you're teaching someone. And disappointment will be a well-known companion. Heartbreak will be more than a passing acquaintance. Yet no work is more worthy of our endurance and steadfastness. Many think that they are personal workers if they do a few little things like extend an invitation here, or offer a word of encouragement there, and express sympathy somewhere else. Flitting about here and there with little sayings and pleasantries with nothing to back them up is not personal work and will not really convert anyone. Personal work that truly converts it is a persistent and consistent work in a situation where the gospel is taught and discussed and learned. If after extensive work with an individual we feel we have failed, perseverance is demonstrated by seeking another person to teach. And if we fail again, we must have the strength and steadfastness to seek out another and another and another and another and keep on trying and never give up trying to convert them. If we say, "Well, they don't want to hear it anyhow," what's going to happen to the lost? Well, I'll tell you what's going to happen to them. They'll stay lost and die in that condition. That's what's going to happen to them. Look with me, if you would, in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good. So, brethren, we never know who will listen to us if we don't talk to them about it, if we don't tell them. And you know what? We are the only ones that have the truth. We're the only ones that have the truth. I know you have. You've talked to people and you didn't get anywhere with them, but don't give up. Don't give up. I've talked to people and I asked them to come to church, and they'll say, thank you very much, because you're the first person that ever asked me to come to church. Most time they didn't come, but I asked. They at least was invited. And finally, no characteristics is more important for a successful personal worker than is love. Nothing succeeds like love. When you get right down to it, a successful personal worker is the one who loves the lost souls enough to tell them of a loving Savior who died for them. Remember, the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, Romans 1:16. When we do our part, God will give the increase. Jesus loved mankind enough to die, so we certainly ought to love our fellow man enough to tell them about him. Now here's something I want each of us, in your own heart, ask yourself. Ask yourself this. If everyone here at Prairie Village was like me, what condition would the church be in? Ask yourself that. I believe this lesson about a successful personal worker is so important that I want us to go to Ezekiel, the third chapter, and read verses 16 through 21. This should get your attention about personal work. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 16. Every time I think of the work of a personal worker is to perform, I think, what the Lord told Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 3, verses 16 through 21. Beginning in verse 16, the Bible says, and at the end of 7 days, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Whenever you hear a word from my mouth, you shall give them warning from me. Now, brethren, it's very important that you understand what is about to be said by the Lord and make applications. Verse 18. If I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way in order to save his life, that wicked person shall die of his iniquity. But his blood will I require at your hand. But if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness or from his wicked way, he shall die from his iniquity, but you will have delivered your soul. Verse 20. And if a righteous person turns from his righteousness and commits injustice, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because you have not warned him, he shall die in his sins, and his righteous deeds that he has done shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. But if you warn the righteous, if you warn the righteous person not to sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning, and you have delivered your soul. It's pretty serious stuff there, brethren. Take heed on that. We must go out and talk to the lost. We've got to get them. We've got to help save them. Isaiah chapter 55. This is something I know we're all familiar with. Let's read it together. Isaiah chapter 55. Now, brethren, God's word always accomplishes what it is designed to do. Don't ever think it doesn't. His word always accomplishes what it is designed to do. Isaiah recorded these words in verse 11 of chapter 55. He says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper on the thing whereto I sent it. His word is not going to return void to him if we do what we are to do. We must remember, no one can go to heaven on a group plan. Each of us will stand before God in the judgment and give an account of ourselves. Let us not let friends or kinship cause us to do things that will cause us to lose our soul in eternity. One last passage, if you would. Jeremiah, the 6th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 6, and when you get there, we'll read verse 16. Since the Word of God doesn't change and sin doesn't change, if we remain faithful, we may seem a bit old-fashioned to some. We probably are. We're probably old-fashioned. I had a guy, a relative actually, tell me, said, Jerry, you go to that old Church of Christ. I go to the new one, but I didn't know there was a new one. He said, you go to that old, they do things that they don't need to do today. Broke my heart. Jeremiah commanded the people in verse 16, he says, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old path, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. We must not only come to accept this, we must embrace it. Do you want to be made well? Do you want to have your sins forgiven? It's not complicated. Not complicated at all. The gospel is so plain. If you want a clean conscience, or if you want to be forgiven, if you want to be made well spiritually, here are some things that you must do. You must believe in Jesus as the Son of God, for He is. You must repent of your sins. Then you must be baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, and you'll rise from that watery grave, a new creature, born again, and on that road that leads to heaven. Brethren, if we can help anybody in any way make their life right with God, please come now as we stand and as we sing. Brother Bill.